everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
Robbie, I must be suffering from amnesia because this episode went in one ear or eyeball and then right out the other eyeball. I'm not sure where this is going, but it not a whole heck of a lot happens here. So hopefully we can make a whole episode out of this.
I mean, things happen. They're just kind of no consequence.
That's true.
That's kind of what it is. It's just like nothing. And like, and I know that all sitcoms functionally work that way, right? We have a story. Things happen. Return to the status quo. Every episode, you're supposed to hide that fact. You're not.
Interesting stuff happening. We do learn a little bit more about Abe's past, but it will never be mentioned again.
Or it doesn't. Again, that's the thing. Like none of this. It doesn't change. Okay. Hi, we are Broadway Wire Sports on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month. Get access to all of our bonus content. $5 gets you much more. Everyone who supports us there, we appreciate you. If you haven't thought to support us on there, we would really appreciate it. That's why we don't have ads on this podcast, except for my books, once in a great while, whenever I have a new one. We could start shilling mattresses and bad psychiatric help apps if you'd like.
Instead, we're just going to make more episodes.
Yeah, instead we're not. See, so maybe give us a couple bucks. We'd appreciate it. This week's episode is Gone, AB Gone. Episode PABF16. I don't like the title. Originally aired November 11th, 2012. Written by Joel H. Cohen. Directed by Matthew Nastick. Received a 4.1 rating with 6.9 million viewers. Sharper gag, I will not concede the election till Karl Rove gives me permission. It's a 2012 election gag, man.
Aha, political humor. The stalest of all humors.
I was going to say, like, it's already been overshadowed by all the nightmares that have come since. The right. Couch gag, in a parody of wacky, chalkboard gag. I already said that. Couch gag, blah, 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 blah. Robbie, my brain is mush. In a parody of wacky races, the family races against many characters, but all of them crash near the finish line and Grandpa wins. This is fun. It's a fun couch gag.
This is a surprisingly original one. This is like, it's not really like anything they've done before, and I'm all for that.
I think it's the thing that entertained me the most in this episode, probably.
Well, yeah.
I would have. Okay, we'll get there. This episode guest stars Marvin Hamlisch as himself. Do you know who Marvin Hamlisch is, Matt?
I believe he's in the movie industry.
He has an EGOT.
Oh my goodness!
Marvin Hamlisch is one of the EGOTs. He's got an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. He's a songwriter, for the most part.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's got a Pulitzer as well. So he's a PGOT.
Jeez,
this guy, oof. He died in 2012. So he died shortly thereafter being in this episode. Rest in peace.
That much talent tends to age you prematurely.
I wouldn't necessarily. I consider myself very talented, Matt. I do not. I want to live into my 70s. I'd like to make it.
You just have to get rid of some of that talent then. Just ignore it. Pretend like it's not there.
I think I do a good enough job. We have Anika Noni Rose. Noni Rose. I don't know how to say her name. As Rita LaFleur. She is famously known as Tiana in Princess and the Frog. I was saying. And then Jennifer Tilly as herself. Jennifer Tilly, actress and poker player, professional poker player, briefly appearing in an instructional video for poker, co-starring Chucky, the killer doll. Sure. This episode starts with Homer getting fast food at a drive-thru. A squeaky-voiced teen accidentally throws hot onion rings on him, which burn him. You might say, we're here quick, Matt, inside the incident, right? This is the inciting incident.
Yeah.
This is my actual conjecture, Matt. This is my take on this episode. This entire episode is an inciting incident to an episode that never happens.
It certainly does seem that way, yeah.
This entire episode is an inciting incident. And we never get to the actual plot.
How this affects Homer and Abe going forward. And you're right, we never get
there. We never get there. So... it's an inciting incident. We get there to the plot really quick, right? Well, not unless you consider this entire episode an inciting incident, then this is just the inciting incident to the inciting incident. So Homer gets burned at a fast food place and meets with a lawyer for negligence, for personal injury lawyer.
Mr. Simpson, your injury was no accidente. It was negligence.
My burns have affected our intimacy because all night I talk about how much money I'm going to make from the lawsuit.
Money? What I am concerned about is your burns. They have healed much too quickly. Sit still while I give your head the third degree.
Oh! Oh, God! It hurts worse than the burns!
Yes, these are special acid markers.
So, acid markers, Matt?
Important to have acid markers when you're a personal injury attorney, of course.
Who makes those markers?
Someone who markets exclusively to lawyers, I hope?
I guess so. So Homer goes to court, gets awarded $5,000 from Krusty, even though it's not Krusty's restaurant. Sure. He puts it in a bank. Lenny and Carl convince him the banks aren't safe. So Mo convinces Homer to put all his money, his $5,000, in a poker site for the poker site to hold his $5,000. Doesn't matter, Matt. I know you're making the noise. It doesn't matter. This is all. We're only here to. This is to enable the B plot.
Yeah, the entire first act is setting up the B plot.
Because the B plot is Elisa online poker plot, and she needs obviously some money to start that. So this is to enable that. I will also say that the B plot is also an inciting incident. The entire B plot is an inciting incident.
I don't know. I feel like the B plot is I don't want to say a good B plot because it's not a good B plot, but it's an entire B plot.
Okay, Matt. We can argue about that when it finishes. When we wrap up the B plot. So Homer puts this $5,000 into a poker website that holds the money theoretically. Much better than a bank. Much better than a bank.
Totally. They're definitely not using a bank in the background at all. Not at all.
It's fine. Who cares? Like, is it bad? Yes. Is it worse than it? Is it like the worst thing in this episode?
Oh, gosh, no.
No. So there's jokes about Lisa's. This is Lisa's college fund, theoretically. And there's a long scene here where they try and make jokes about it. And it is abysmal. It is. I want to say it's the worst scene in this episode, Matt. Maybe except for the heroin addiction stuff, but
oh yeah,
that's pretty bad. But this is just so unfunny. It is just Lisa going, "Dad, why is my money there?" And Homer goes, "It's in there." And Lisa goes, "I don't like it." And then Homer goes, "It's in there." And you're like,
gives her a T-shirt saying, "Hey, my college fund's on a poker site."
And you're like, "What is this?" So this eventually, this is all B plot. We're not even, and this is still not the B plot because Lisa hasn't started playing poker yet. But this is getting us there. This is an inciting incident for that. And then we get the inciting incident for the A plot, which is Abe. Abe is missing. So we have Marge reminding Homer they haven't visited Abe customarily on the Sunday. And when they get there, they find out Grandpa's gone.
That's one way to avoid drunk driving.
Another way is don't drink.
I'm not Superman.
Homie, do you know what yesterday was?
Of course I do. Happy anniversary-tine Shark Week.
Yesterday is the day we were supposed to visit Grandpa.
What the stupid calendar? First you put the 4th of July on Sunday and now this. Oh, we're gonna discuss this later. Okay, remember the plan. Apologize to Grandpa. Then when he wants us to take him out to lunch, point to the leftovers. Tell him we already did, but he forgot.
I still feel guilty. Your father's not going to be around forever.
Marge, you take that back.
Fine, he'll be around forever.
You take that back. We're here to see Abe Simpson.
Abe Simpson? Excuse me.
I'm very sorry to tell you your father is missing.
Missing? What kind of a prison are you people running here?
If it's any consolation, we'll probably find him when the river thaws in the spring. A lot of bobbers then.
So, Grandpa's
bobbers.
Bobbers, very, very great. I mean, it's not crazy. The retirement home doesn't really care about people. That's long established. Abe's gone.
Especially now. It was better in 2012, ironically. Now it's even worse. The private equity owns every nursing home in the country.
Abe's gone, man. We have the A plot. Abe is missing. So we have to go find him, I guess. I will say this first act is much shorter than the first act in the last episode, which was infinitely long. True. So this is only 5 minutes and 38 seconds. We go to a commercial.
And when we come back, we're right back to the A plot. Homer and Marge are looking through Abe's stuff. They have his footlocker that contains all of his most important things, which Homer just dumps on the floor. The only clue they seem to find out of all of that is a coaster for a place named Spiro's that neither of them has ever heard of that Abe has written on the back. Was it "This Place Changed My Life"?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they're like, oh, well, this is a clue. Maybe he's gone here, especially when it's something they have never heard of before. Meanwhile, we have Bart playing on the poker site with Lisa's college money because I guess Homer just leaves himself logged in, which I 100% believe. Lisa is upset. But she decides that Bart lost $63 of the $5,000, so she's going to try and win it back. And she does. And she's like, well, why don't I keep going? And she keeps making more and more money. And that's all the B plot for now. We go back to the A plot. Homer and Marge go to Spiro's and start asking questions. And for some reason, Homer keeps comparing himself to cops and nosy reporters.
Now, this is important. Spiro's looks very distinctly different from the picture now. And now,
oh, yes,
and is
course.
Now a biker bar.
It is. It looked is. Like it's now a biker bar.
The picture we see was like a classy place on the coaster, and now the place in the front has lights burn out. It looks like it's run down, and there's bikers. And we see the bikers from what's the name of the episode? Sleaze, something Sleaze.
Take My Wife Sleaze.
Take My Wife Sleaze. Those guys are there. They don't talk, obviously, because they don't have Andrew Winkler or John Goodman, but they're there in the background.
Yes, but they are about. Homer is about to get beaten up very badly, but luckily he drops the picture of Abe and is saved by, well, a Spiro just in time.
Abe Simpson used to work here. Put him down. Welcome to Spiro's. I am Spiro, not the Spiro on the sign. That's my brother.
Did you say my dad worked here?
Yes. In the old days, when people ate steak, drank champagne, and the music. Oh, the music. I hated the music. Simpson, I pay you to clean tables, not to write songs. And you, Marvin Hamlisch, I pay you to write songs, not to clean tables.
What can I say? I like to pitch in.
Hasta diablo, Vlaka.
My heart does the two-step when you waltz in the place.
Wait a minute. My dad was an aspiring songwriter like Charles Manson? I never knew that.
You know who would sound good singing that song? Me.
Rita LaFleur singing one of my tunes? Can a 35-year-old busboy's life get any better?
My heart does the two-step when you waltz in the place. Yeah, my ticker beats quicker when I look at your face. Yeah, you'd better call the doctor before we embrace.
Busboy! That breadbasket napkin so opened up you can see everything. Disgusting. You're fired.
Hey, you can't do that. I just turned sweet on him. Yeah.
Be sweet on him in your own sweet time. Why did I ever leave Greece? Oh, that's right, because it's a train wreck. I never saw either of them again. If you find your dad, tell him sorry from Spiro Papadapa Constati Kazgianopoulos Poropodopoulos.
And then proceeds to be a way too long joke about Marge being immediately able to repeat that name and Homer not being able to remember the most basic thing in the world.
But then Homer says the Greek name as well, Matt.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He can't
either
remember
way.
He can't remember Rita's last name. But this is a good sampler of the kind of humor we get in this episode. That's like that. That's the joke. But they do the joke 5 times. The same joke. There's no turn. There's no ad. It is just What's her last name? Guys, this is what. Please, yeah. Please help. Help. Help.
Yeah. But I will say, I think I actually like this episode a little more than Robbie does, just because that's not a great song, but it's decent. And also, the guest star, Annika, sounds amazing singing it. So there's that, at least.
I mean, so she does a good job with what she's given.
Yes.
I'm not complaining about her at all. It's all in the script. The problem with this is all in this, like, and you're right, that song's not bad, and she sings it well, but why?
Indeed, why?
Why? Finish the segment, and then I'm going to pontificate for a minute.
Well, there's not much left here. Homer and Marge go to they start looking for Rita LaFleur. Turns out there's only one in Springfield, because she still lives in Springfield, despite lots of stuff we're about to find out. They call her and find out, she married Abe! And then we go to commercial.
I think I'm okay never adding to Abe's backstory ever again.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, we got enough. Like, and this is directly contradictory to, like, they don't settle on, again, all they do is bounce around to whatever they think they need for any given episode, and they just throw stuff in a pot. And it's like, and it changes. And they've done, and it's partially a product of the age of the show, because the show is now, this is season 24, and they just, obviously, they've kept going. But you have, like, all these different characters. Like, we always think about the best of The Simpsons. It has, like, all these supporting cast, and they all have, like, their own little niche, their own little place, their own role. Think of it like a spectrum. They all have their own color, and their own little thing. They had in their past defined the character. They had a very identifiable and defined thing the character was, a niche that those characters filled. And you see this with all the supporting. We complained about it a lot. We complained about it with Skinner. We complained about it with Flanders. We complained about it with Edna. We complained about it with all these characters. They kind of just file down all the edges, and they just throw stuff on it, and like it just becomes a big giant gloppy mess, each character, and they blend together, and they become less special individually, and Grandpa's no exception, and Grandpa just happens to be very old, so they can just kind of throw in whatever backstory they want, this is after we're about to find out this happened after Mona left. Mm-hmm. And Homer's around and a child. And you're just like, why are we adding in that Grandpa was a songwriter of all things?
Right.
The man
Abe doesn't seem to care about. I'm pretty sure Abe has hated music in a previous episode.
It's when you think of everyone has, you know, I'm sure that everyone has maybe a different thing they think of when they think of Abe. When I think of Abe, I think of the watching Monday Night Football with him talking about the haircuts. I think about, you know, he sees Johnny Unitas. He's like, that's a haircut you can set your watch to.
Uh-huh.
And him, you know, hating hippies. And like, why on earth would he be a songwriter? Like, it's like, sure, he wrote those cartoons with Bart, and like they had him like contribute, you know, theoretically his name. But that's, again, it was just his name, because they were the ones doing all the work. It's just, why this? Is it because you had Annika Rose? Like, you had her?
Right.
And you needed a character for her, and you wanted her to sing? So, she's going to be a lounge singer. She's going to be an old, now she's an elderly lounge singer. Oh, let's say that she, who else is elderly in the show? Well, we don't have very many old characters, so it's going to have to be Grandpa, and now they're married? And you're like, why? Why all this stuff? Why are you adding this to, like, most people, like, it also adds, like, it kind of breaks more of that suspension of disbelief, because most people's lives are mostly kind of boring. They don't have a lot of excitement. You know, and Grandpa was in the war, and he's had a little of those different moments of excitement we see in the show. And he's always telling stories because he's an old man, and, you know, dickety too. The Kaiser took our word for, you know, things like that. But it's like, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't immediately go, this is another one of those moments where I go,
mm-hmm.
The moment they have a flashback and they say, she was married to Abe. I'm like, no, she wasn't. What is this? I'm immediately, my brain goes, no, no, what?
Uh-huh.
That's this episode. And Matt, it doesn't get us anywhere, which we will get to.
Indeed.
We will get there. The show never will, but we'll get right there. We go to our come back from commercial 11 minutes and 7 seconds. Again, short, relatively short, concise second act. Like, I'll say that, like, the acts in this are relatively balanced, but Lisa is now gambling, just wholesale playing poker, Matt. This is where we get Jennifer Tilly. Lisa briefly watches a, and this is the crazy thing to me, Matt. Lisa would be great at poker.
Of course she would.
It's like she's has the mathematical mind, right? It's all about probability. There are certain elements of like social deduction and social engineering and trying to figure out people's personality and know when they'll bet. But when you're playing online poker, you're not reading anybody. You know, you're not analyzing. Like, you can see, you can only judge them by how much they bet and what their hands are revealed to be at the, like, you're just extracting data sets effectively on a minor scale. So, yeah, Lisa would be great at online poker. She's winning money, and you see her up in this montage upgrading her sweaters to better colleges. In Lisa's mind, that's all she's doing. She's just trying to win enough money that she can go to the college she wants to go to, and regardless of what the college is. Ivy League school, she can afford it, along with a gap year, as she says. So we have Homer and Marge now have hunted down Rita. I immediately could ask like 1,000 questions, Matt. We go like, well, Rita knew that Abe had kids. Why wouldn't she wouldn't go hunt down the kids too? Like, she's in Springfield. She would never try and call up Homer.
Right.
Say, hey, remember me? How's it going? Nothing like that. She doesn't. This is the first time we've ever heard
of her. She never tries to track down Abe at all.
No, she's just in Springfield simultaneously. We get basically Homer and Marge meeting her and some of the backstory between her and Abe.
I can't believe my dad never told me he had another wife. The man I looked up to my whole life.
You never looked up to him.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't, because I'd be pretty devastated right now.
I can't believe you're here. I'd finally gotten over your father just a week and a half ago, and then you two show up.
Well, we certainly don't want to cause you any more pain.
But we need to know everything, no matter how shameful and fast.
I understand, but this is hard. Yeah.
Well, just what attracted you to my father?
Beneath his mediocrity, there was genius. Then a layer of anger. Then a beautiful soul. Then some more anger. A lot of layers.
A lot of layers, Robbie.
A lot of layers. This incredibly attractive woman, talented woman, immediately falls in love with Abe.
Mm-hmm.
No, she didn't. This is another one of those things I immediately reject. Immediately, I'm like, no, she didn't. What is this? This is all contrived. This is so contrived. And there's a part of me, Matt, that goes, wait, we're in Act 3. Where is the story coming? Like, where this is, there's still no, like, is the conflict, oh no, Abe's missing, we need to find him? Is that still the conflict of this episode?
I guess.
Okay. So we learn details. This is after Mona has left. And we find out that Homer is there. We see Homer standing there watching Abe and Rita as a couple.
Yep.
Are you telling me that Homer wasn't like had a brain? He was a child, but he was not like 2. He looked like he was what, 10? 10-year-old Homer, 8-year-old, 11-year-old Homer, somewhere prepubescent but still alive Homer. Went to a wedding with his dad and doesn't remember it?
I guess. I mean, they make the point in this episode that Homer is incredibly dumb as a child and even gets several head injuries. So I guess that's what they're banking on.
Is that what we're doing, Matt?
I guess so.
Is that what we're doing? They are telling me that Homer, it's at a certain point where I'm like, I know you're trying to play fast and loose with all this stuff, but that's not how brain injuries work. Like, it's not right? Like if Homer has sustained enough head trauma that he has forgotten a wedding he was a part of with his own dad, that means Homer is not like alive. And like, he's a vegetable at that point. Like, it's just so absurd. And they just are like, yeah, it happened. I'm like, guys, this is at the point when you're writing this script, when you go, oh, we can't do this. You don't, like, it's and they do this every week, Matt, but it's just, at a certain point, you have to go, like, okay, this is too many leaps of logic. We need to start over. Let's rewrite it. But they don't. That's the thing. They just don't. They just go, nah, he had head trauma. Let's throw in a scene where Homer's dragged behind a car. You're like, what are we doing? Can't you just write a better story where it doesn't need Homer to have the worst, like, the most selective amnesia possible? Does he remember his childhood at all? He would not even remember his father, who his father is at this point.
No, he would not, because Homer, like we said, remembers very little about his childhood. He seems to remember high school, okay, but anything before that, he doesn't seem to remember at all. He remembered the farm in the Simpson and Son Revitalizing Tonic episode, but not anything else, it seems.
Again, Matt, they just don't. It's just rewrite it, man. You can include, you if you want to desperately have Abe with a secret relationship, you have to be better. You have to do better.
Yeah. At the very least, just say, oh, he hid it from Homer. Homer wasn't around for this stuff, and he never knew because Abe didn't want Homer to feel bad about a new woman in his life. It's not that hard. Abe was an absent father. We know that much.
Exactly. And when I talked earlier about them changing Abe's character by adding all this stuff, it also, like, takes away from the fact that, yeah, Abe was an absent dad, and that weird conflicted past between him and Homer makes their relationship interesting. Why are you making it so that he was instead of them retconning to make, they're retconning it to make Grandpa a better dad. And you're like, it's more interesting when there's nuance, right? It's more interesting when it's complicated. Why would you make it less complicated? Because it makes your life easier. Because it makes your job easier. And you're like, that's not, are you trying to tell a story or are you not? Right. So this leads directly into this scene where we learn basically more details about Abe and Rita's relationship, a little bit about them getting married and all that stuff. And then we see why they eventually split up.
I was alive when my dad knew you.
Alive, but very clueless.
So this was after Homer's mother left?
I love men on the rebound. They always think they've done something wrong, and they usually come with furniture.
My dad had furniture? I don't know him at all.
One day, when we were walking through Proposal Park, Abe popped the question. We got married in the city hall, across from the prettiest church you've ever seen. Then tragedy struck.
Hey, I'm starting to remember why I don't remember so much.
We celebrated in your hospital room. Our first night together as a family.
Yeah.
We didn't know it would be our last. Hello, Abe. They want to book us on a European tour.
That's fine, doll. Real fine. Why, we'll
see you!
You know, Europe's no place for a 6-year-old. He can handle 110 volt, but 220 would kill him.
But making music is my dream, Abe. Our dream.
I know, Sugar Tomato. But I'm all the family this boy's got. If I don't take care of him now, he'll forget the day he's supposed to come and see me when I'm old.
Wah, wah.
So, Abe had to give up this incredibly fulfilling relationship and job because Homer is too dumb.
It's just everything about this, Matt, is just, it's just absurd. It's just absurd. The clock is tick-tock, and Matt, like, where are we in the story with this? This is a lot of time spent taking up with learning about this relationship Abe had with Rita, giving Rita a lot of time. Does Rita have any, like, really, like, agency in this episode at all? Like, does she play an important part?
She's explicitly there as a story dump. She's like, oh, this is someone needs to tell this story. We can't have the characters find it out or anything. Someone has to tell it. Okay, well, let's have him find this long lost person that was a huge part of Abe's life that he never mentions ever again. He apparently has never mentioned this to Homer ever. Like, okay, Homer is so dumb that he forgot. Or he had a head injury, so he forgot. But Abe doesn't pine after her. He just wipes her from his memory.
And then she's back in town, and they don't, like, you wouldn't think they maybe, like, could get back. Like, this episode's getting them back together, but that's not what this episode is about. Is it? Is that what this episode's about? Is trying to get them back together? What? But what's the conflict between? There's no conflict between them. They have no issues. So she never saw basically Homer's so stupid that he will die if they went to Europe, which doesn't make any sense. They could easily just go to Europe. Again, that's the other thing. Like, what is this about? What is this episode about? Is it about Abe? I thought it was about Abe going missing, and now it's suddenly about like Homer, him choosing Homer over a European like musician, like being. And what year is this taking place in, Matt? By the way,
don't ask that question.
What year is these flashbacks taking place in? What year is there like big band like or lounge singing like it's a piano and a song like it feels like it should be in the 40s. But it happened while Homer was 10 and Mona's gone. Mona left, you know, roughly like what, 19, like they say 69, 70, right? So this is happening after, and Homer's 10. So like mid 70s, there's a big demand for like, for this lounge act. Is that what's going on?
Apparently.
Okay. You pick at it just a little bit, you just barely touch it with your finger, and you're like, wait a minute.
All falls apart.
You know, you're like, what's going on? She's also addicted to heroin, by the way.
Oh, yes. We find out about that, too. That's great.
We get a sequence where we learn she developed a heroin addiction, and we see her, like, nod off in the middle of the scene.
Yeah, she lost her career to heroin addiction. Do we see anything about that now? Oh, no, I guess she's still addicted to heroin.
This means, Matt, that instead of like throwing anything else in there, they thought this joke was so funny, they had to include it. Wouldn't it be funny if we watched a heroin addict nod off in the middle of a discussion? Isn't that hilarious? B plot, Matt. B plot. Indeed. Lisa is gambling. She has a $400,000+, which that is an incredible amount of money,
especially for starting with $5,000.
And Matt, this is where I am at with this episode, where I don't believe it for a second any of this Abe Rita stuff, but I immediately believe that Lisa could get to $400,000 with $5,000 starting pot.
For sure,
with enough time, she could do it. Like, she's, she's like a genius. That's canonical. And it's, again, poker is a lot of just statistics and odds and math and memorizing, you know, certain things. And if you play the right way and you don't overextend yourself, you can win a lot of money. So I bet Lisa could do that. It's not crazy. It's not outside the realm of possibility. So she has over $400,000, and she's like, yeah, you know, I could stop right now with this incredible amount of money, and I'm just going to keep going. And you're like, this is the part where I don't believe, Matt, where I feel like Lisa would go all in on with this, like where she would lose it all. I don't believe that for a second. But that is exactly what happens. I have titled this clip, Lisa Loses Everything.
Four threes? Oh, no. No, 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 no! I can't breathe. I've lost everything.
We can all hear you. Please, log off.
Why is there a microphone on this poker site? Why can you hear other people?
They had a joke, man. The answer is always they wrote a joke, so they included it. It's more like, again, I don't buy for a second that Lisa would. You don't have to put in 400, like, and no poker player on earth plays like this, where the professionals, you know, they're like, oh, well, I have this much money for this game. So much money I'm going to bet. I'm not going to put in my entire amount, like my entire life's, basically this is all the money Lisa has in the world. Why would she bet at all? Wouldn't she? You would raise, like, it's not strategically. You're not trying to, like, pull, you're not going to pull $400,000 from, like, I can't, man. Like, I just thought about this just for a second. This is what happens when we record, right? I just watch this episode and I just kind of absorb it. I don't really think about it too much. I just go, did I enjoy this? Now I thought about it. And this also just doesn't pay attention to how poker works. Like, if Lisa, so Lisa is, has a $400,000 amount. She has $400,000 plus. She has this great hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, one, I think Lisa would immediately go, okay, well, what are the, what hands could beat me right now? What other hands could other people have that could beat me? If someone else is, if I put in a lot of money and they raise to match, that means they probably have a good hand at least.
Especially if she puts in a lot of money. Like, it's a single hand of poker on a video poker or a computer poker site. If they match you $10,000, they probably got the hand to beat you.
Probably, or at least another really good hand that is probably close. Unless they're completely bluffing, but they're probably not. But it's, again, if Lisa puts in, if you go all in, you actually aren't putting in all in. If someone else is playing against you, all they can do is raise to whatever, how much money they have.
Right.
Like, they match all, if they put in all of their pot, the new pot for the hand does not, they don't get all your money if they win. They get the amount of money that they are willing to match. So Lisa would not lose all that money. Lisa would get some back. Probably most of it because of what we learn in the final act. So, but whatever. Again, they also override everything that happens in this B plot in the final act. Lisa's lost her money. Oh no. We go to a final commercial, 17 minutes and 11 seconds.
Oh, don't worry, Robbie. That's immediately resolved as soon as we're back from a commercial.
Oh, cool.
Because
great.
It turns out that, oh, it wasn't just some rando that Lisa was playing against. It was Bart.
Oh, come on, Lise. No gambling story has a happy ending, except Seabiscuit. But you never hear about the ruined lives of the people who bet against him.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I was Ivy. Strong Ivy.
Oh, man, this is priceless. But I can't keep it up. You've still got a college fund.
What are you talking about?
I'm Sideshow Bob. I've been using his avatar to play poker and trash his favorite restaurants on Yelp. And I saved your vegetarian bacon.
Oh, my God. You won the pot? You must have nearly $1 million. I could go to college and live like a Kennedy.
Listen, after I won, the website found out we were both under 18, so we're back to the original 5,000.
Shame. Shame.
Did you give the money back to the people who lost it?
Goodbye.
Well, back to square one is a major victory in this house. But why did you help me? Come on, tell me.
Because I actually like you and felt sorry for you.
What? You did?
Forget I said anything.
Sure. I have the ending for my memoir.
Like Robbie said earlier, he doesn't think this is a setup to an actual B-plot. I think this is a B-plot. I just don't think it's a very good one. Like, Lisa has all this money. She starts betting it. She loses, but turns out the loss isn't as bad as she thought it was. And Bart actually likes her. Why does Bart actually like her? Well, we'll break out the old canard. Because the plot requires it.
I mean, this is fine, Matt. It's all fine. But again, it just doesn't, like, it just feels, especially in the greater episode, is it terrifically funny?
No, gosh, no.
That's like, what is it adding to this? Like, what's the point of this?
Oh, like, Rob, I can tell you exactly what it's adding.
Is it fill time? Is your answer going to be fill time?
Yeah, you got it the first try. Congratulations.
Okay, fair enough.
So we then go back to the A-plot. We've got to finish this one up, too. Rita tells them that Abe used a very specific cologne. Homer always considered it old man stink. I guess in Rita's day, it was young man musk, which, yeah, okay. And she continually describes Abe in absolutely glowing terms that I guess causes Homer to be, you know, attracted to his debt. It's incredibly stupid. But we move on from that, thankfully, very quickly. And Homer and Marge go to the only store that sells that particular cologne.
Only place in town that still sells chicory mist. After people found out it's 98% squirrel sweat, they sort of stopped buying.
Listen, do you know this man?
Let me ask around. Abe? You seen this guy?
Oh, I know him. He's a man who has no son.
Dad!
Abe, we were so worried.
Dad, promise me you'll never wander off and make us explore your fascinating past again.
I didn't wander off, you big fat salami. I ran away.
What?
You think I'm boring and you never visit me and I got sick of waiting for you. So I got a job and found a new dump to live in and I didn't tell you about it. So at least that way I know you're not coming.
Grandpa, we will never miss a visit again. And there'll be a lot more of them.
And I don't think you're boring. It's just that in today's multi-channel environment, you have too many great choices. Look at Sunday night. There's like 8 amazing shows. None of them on Fox.
Well, when you put it that way, all right. I can't say all is forgiven, but most is forgotten.
Oh.
First of all, can we stop with the Fox jabs? It was funny in the 90s. It's not funny anymore. Secondly, why does Abe forgive him?
They need to end the episode to end quickly. But they don't got much time.
Of course. That's, how foolish of me.
Again, that's what I'm saying. Like, if this episode, this basically confirms the fact that this is not about Abe going missing. It's not about trying to find Abe. It is about the fact that Homer forgot to visit Abe, despite the fact that Abe sacrificed for him in the past. Sure, that's fine. I mean, they've shown Abe having sacrificed for the Simpsons, the kids, for Homer before. And a lot of that was about, like, well, does that make up with the fact that he wasn't a great father for a large part of it? And you're like, well, maybe. It's a part of it, or Abe's trying. And you're like, well, that's interesting. That's nuance, right? That's storytelling. And if that is the true conflict of this episode, there's nothing happens in it. Nothing happens. Like, it just ends because Homer realizes with his story, that with Rita's story, Abe decided to stay and keep Homer in the U.S., or in his home, because he was concerned about him. Despite the, if you weaken him at all about the sanity of such writing, but at least it is what they are trying to presuppose. They don't develop that idea at all. They just say, oh, Abe did this, Homer did this. Oh, we find Abe. He's working at a cologne store.
Somehow has employees.
I was going to say, if there is a cologne, like, it's not crazy there could be, like, if it, and Matt, I'll say that maybe they also sell perfume. Maybe it's not just men's.
True.
If it's men's and women's, that is more likely to have a business that's successful. I mean, in a town like Springfield, like, imagine, like, the place. I want everyone out there, if you grew up in not a big city, I want you to think about the place you grew up in. Did it have a store that only sold cologne and survived?
I mean, maybe there was a mall kiosk, but yeah, not much more than that.
Yeah, I think that's about as best as you could do. But whatever. Abe is working in this cologne store. And again, they also find him without any. You notice how they, every step along the way, there's no, like, mystery they actually solve. The only thing they actually track down is that one restaurant. And then immediately they get told exactly, oh, go to Rita LaFleur. Rita's like, oh, here's a cologne. And Abe is just happens to be working at that one cologne store. Oh, isn't that convenient? Yes, it is. There's no development in this story. This episode is all inside the incident. There's no actual plot, like, evolution. There's no found, like, it's just exposition. It's just like, here's a story about Abe and Rita. It's 75% of the episode. Do you like it?
Are you asking me? Because the answer is obviously no.
I mean, it's just like, but that's what it is. Like, that's what the episode's doing, right? It's just asking, like, hey, here it is. It's mostly, this episode's mostly just Rita and Abe flashbacks. There's not, like, anything else really in it. And Lisa, like, doing some poker. Like, that's, yeah. that's okay.
Don't worry. We're not quite done yet, though.
Oh, right? There's more?
There's a tiny little bit more. Abe goes back to the nursing home, and he is looking through his stuff and, you know, thinking about, you know, how he's going to be more involved with the family or whatever, when he hears his song being played on the piano. And when he runs to the common room, there is Rita on the piano playing his song. They then proceed to play it together and fall asleep on each other because, you know, old people fall asleep, heroin addicts fall asleep, et cetera, et cetera. Ha, ha, ha.
She was playing with her feet, man.
To start with, yes.
She has feet things.
There's magic feet.
She has magic feet, which I think they are selling as a sex thing in this episode.
You're 100% correct, but yeah, okay.
I don't know. Do they think, is that like, I'm like, it's, again, the question is like, is it a joke?
Is it a joke?
I'm not sure. But that's the episode. Like, that's how it ends. It just ends with Rita and Abe back together. Do we ever see Rita again, Matt?
Nope.
Ever. No, like, they spend so much of this episode to establish a character that we'll never see again. Abe and Rita are back together. If they stayed together for even just a season, like, I know they're not going to bring back a freaking Disney princess every episode. I get it. But you think you could, like, if you're going to end the episode this way, like, is this what this episode's about? About getting Abe and Rita back together? Why? What does this have to do with, Abe went missing. We only see Abe until the last 3 minutes of this episode. Actually, modern day present Abe. Everything else just memories of Abe. What does Abe want? Does Abe love Rita? Why? Why would he love Rita? It's been, 40 years?
Obviously, I will say for this, Abe probably does still love Rita. They were parted by things outside of their own control. But still, like, we basically are getting into the fix this episode, but like, they need to pick what this episode is going to be and then do some work on it.
We'll rank this episode at the end of the show.
Robbie, is this episode broken or are you having a stroke?
No, you were right the first time with that quick fix idea. Let's see. Quick fix.
I do think this episode's broken, Matt.
Well, yeah, for sure.
I don't want to fix it.
Because there's nothing to fix, because there's no story here. You'd have to come up with an entirely new story to hang these terrible jokes on.
If the gimmick, Matt, here's the thing. I'm going to come at this from a completely different angle, okay? You have Annika Rose as a guest star. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing all of this stems from that, I presume, right? Presume that they wanted to give her a really good character and give her a chance to sing, right? I'm guessing?
I would assume, yes.
Okay. If that is the goal, then I would write an entirely different episode that gives her a character and make it not this.
I mean, you could almost tweak this, but instead of all of this taking place in the past, it takes place today. Like, have it. The nursing home has decided that there's like an outreach program to get seniors out and moving as part of the community. And really, they're just using them as, you know, cheap labor, kind of like we use prisoners. They're a busboy at this restaurant where Rita is singing and Abe is the busboy. And it turns out that they start up a friendship or a relationship or whatever. And then, you have her singing, you have Abe there. Don't make it some weird scavenger hunt. And, you know, because we've had this in more recent seasons where Abe starts a new relationship and Homer is envious of the relationship that Abe has with his new, you know, friends or wife or their kids or whatever. I can't remember the name of the episode, but Homer was jealous of a child for some reason.
We don't need to reference that episode. That awful.
I know. Bad. But like, you could have something along those lines of like, you know, Abe meets this older woman who's a wonderful singer, and he kind of falls for her, and, you know, maybe she rejects him or whatever. That's the sitcom way to do it. She rejects him in the end because she has to go on a European tour now. Don't make this take place in the past.
That's all I'm like, we don't need it. I think you're right, man. Like, they make this very complicated where we have like the circuitous route where we have to make this a mystery or something. I'm like, just tell a story you want to tell. Figure out what you want. You already said it. Make the episode what you want it to be from the beginning. If you want to tell a story about like, and here I'm actually, we've been pronouncing her name different ways this entire episode, and I want to know. So I'm just going to play it right now.
Annika Noni Rose.
Annika. There we go. Give her a character that just tell it in chronological order. We don't need like a mystery. Like, we don't need to hunt down like, what's this, add this tragic backstory. Oh, this weird backstory of Grandpa. Just have it happen now. Like you said. And that's fine what you said. if you want to do a grandpa reuniting with this woman thing, do it. Yeah, do it now. Do it right. in the set it in the present day. Why are they invoking the like this Homer being like a bad son thing? Unless you're going to make the episode about that, then don't do it. Like, if this episode is about Homer being a bad son, then make the episode about that. Not about Grandpa having a marriage in the past and choosing, like, all this complicated crap. Like, choose a thing and just do it instead of making a bunch of different things. I don't, but this episode, this four, I don't want to, it's a mess. It's a bunch of, and it's, I can't say this enough, Matt. This episode, like, I don't know if we've said it out loud, but I mean, feel like it's almost understood at this point. This episode's really boring. It's boring. It's bland. It's like
nothing fun or interesting happens at all. And the jokes
are not bad. Are real bad jokes. And like, it's just, I'm like, this episode is like not, I think it's better than last week, but it is still like really bland, really boring. And it never gets anywhere, and you're like, it doesn't need to be exemplary to do those things. It's just like basic competence in story writing and like storytelling. And that moment where I was like, when you start to have to give Homer brain damage so the plot works, maybe just rewrite it.
maybe.
Like, it's that thing where you're like, I speak from experience. There are moments where you have written a thing and you go, wait a minute, these people, I want all my protagonists to be competent humans. Like, they need to have working brains. I can't give them brain damage to explain away a plot hole I forgot about.
No idiot balls, please. Get rid of the idiot balls.
That's it, Matt. You can't have your characters carrying idiot balls all day long. They can't all be idiots. And when you have a Homer, when you go, that's an idiot ball too big for even Homer Simpson to carry. Oh man, that's bad. Rewrite your script. Rewrite it. We move on to our next segment. It's time for comments in the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Constant News Group is where we ask our patrons over there on patreon.com/TheSimpsonShow. They think about an episode. Thank you, everyone who watched it and left a review. First from Tim, I'll start my review by saying that Rita LaFleur needs to be a regular character. One would have thought from watching that she would at least appear on occasion, but alas, this does not seem to be the case. Also state that Abe-Rita relationship needed the full episode. Of course, we can't have that. Instead, have the witness Lisa's addiction to gambling, which isn't the worst subject to tackle, but needs to have its own episode. Funny enough, the topics of more than a decade ago still have relevance today. Ahem, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. Number 315, one I guess barely canon, fixed by just having the A story. I mean, you could easily make another episode about modern sports betting, but it would be it'd be an entirely different episode. And I feel like they're going to have one, Matt. I feel like they have to have.
They've got to with DraftKings and FanDuel and crap. I mean, it'll be like 4 years from now after everything's shaken out and it doesn't resemble anything in the episode. But yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they've already mentioned it a couple times in modern episodes. From Dara, Anika Rose was great, even with an awful heroin joke. The couch gag was also fantastic. That's all. Just another sleepwalk of an episode. Did the barest of minimums to redeem itself to have the first two acts. Seeing 6-year-old Homer stick his tongue in an electrical outlet doesn't do much for me. I'm honestly torn if this is better or worse than the season opener. I'll be optimistic and say a tad better, as it didn't have a 9/11 joke, only a Charles Manson one. See, can we just do neither? Sorry, that's my question. Can we just not have a 9/11 or Charles Manson jokes?
That would be ideal, but this is The Simpsons in season 24. They go with what they know.
Okay, second best episode of season 24, which also makes it the third worst. Okay, fair enough. For Mr. Vladis, I like how careful Homer was about Abe and memories, but I cannot believe that was true considering what a rude and unfeeling father he was showed before. Also, I didn't have any interest in Abe's disappearing. I was like, man, he'll be fine. Show me Lisa. I love the B plot. It made me tense and worried about Lisa losing all the money at poker. And then there was a lovely scene where Bart reveals the truth. B plot's better.
For sure. The B plot actually makes sense. That's why when you said it was just a setup, I was like, well, kind of, but it's also like an entire story within itself, unlike the A plot, which has nothing.
But it's more like it's so casually, Matt, introduces the idea that Lisa has won like $450,000 and then just, oh, no, she has $5,000 again. I'm like, It would break
the... I mean, it's like, a sitcom thing. They have to end up where they started.
I know, Matt, but again, there's just no... Because it doesn't make sense as a B-plot, it just ends up being... I don't know. It feels, again, like filler. From Tausch, and the major problem with this episode is that both the A and B stories have interesting premises, but they're really only gone into superficially. There are numerous episodes where Bart is presented as the bad guy for not respecting Homer, despite how badly his father treats him, and every time Mona appears, we, the audience, learn more of just how crappy of a person she was. Because of this, as the series goes on, Abe comes across as being used as just a scapegoat for his wife and son's antics. Sad thing is, the show does acknowledge how much Abe has sacrificed for his family, but it's always brushed off as a joke. He's given his life savings to the family at least twice. In this case, Homer is so dumb that he would have died if he wasn't vigilantly watched. So for the B story, at least a gambling addiction is there, and then it's gone. I feel like I didn't hate this episode that much, Matt, when I just watched it once. I was just like, it's fine. And now,
but
more I think about it, the more reviews I read from everyone else, I'm like, maybe I do hate it. You know, maybe I definitely, mm-hmm. like, maybe. I don't hate it. Hate is a really strong word. I try not to hate much. From Derek, another double whammy of pure crap this week. Who'd have thunk it? That awful extended grandpa flashback just eviscerates his character. He was a mean, cranky old bastard before he was a doddering old fool. It's far more realistic and interesting portrayal of a father that informed why Homer turned out hidden explains all that resentment towards him. Now he was this happy-go-lucky man who'd do anything for his son. Mrs. Piano the Flower Woman is almost... another nothing character. It really is a case of the show of we either flanderize our existing characters or bring in new ones to give them zero personality. So that storyline is dead in the water since I couldn't care less. The Simpsons get its addicted to gambling plot I won't compare to an earlier version of the story since it doesn't compare. It's all completely nonsensical, complete with a really testing extended Homer joke. Excruciating. That visit grandpa with blue moon on the calendar was a great visual gag, though. Well done. That was, I do appreciate that. Immediately after they have that little visual gag, they have Homer write on the calendar, make a date on the calendar to talk to the calendar. Like Homer talks, like the calendar is a sentient thing. Like,
yes, obviously the problem is not Homer forgetting the appointment. It's the calendar's fault. This is just Homer projecting his failure onto an inanimate object. Ha ha. Ha ha.
I don't know. From JJ. Another episode messing with the past, not adding anything of value. I wish they'd just stop. Their explanation for why Homer doesn't remember that Abe remarried is so clumsy. I don't like this retconning of Abe actually being a good dad. It will happen again. The mystery aspect of the episode is boring, poorly conceived, and the payoff is learning cursive levels of disappointing. Homer was more annoying than usual, too. I just wanted him to shut up. Lisa is another nothing character. Her entire personality is she talks slow and says... yeah, a lot. Then they throw in a painfully unfunny joke about her having a heroin addiction, which undermines the entire story. B-plot was decent. Well, that's about it. Yeah. I mean, I honestly, Matt, I wanted, like, if we're going to have... I think my other problem with the B-plot is if we're going to have, like, Lisa playing poker, just I want that as an whole episode. I want Lisa, like, going into, like, poker rooms. I want, like, rounders, but with Lisa.
Yeah, or at least it pretends to be an adult or something.
Or they just, like, she comes in with, like, her and Homer partner up, and she is like, oh, Homer's going to bring Lisa in, and she's actually going to be the one telling him, oh, yeah, you need to, here, raise, fold, you know, push, and all this, like, you know, she's the one making the decisions while Homer has to play, and then maybe the big finale is Homer having
to... Hasn't that been an episode? Why do I think that's been an episode?
If it's been an episode, Matt, it just tells you how much my brain has eroded. Like, the fact right? that I don't remember. It feels like it could be one. Maybe it is.
I know. It was an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where that's basically the plot.
Okay. That's good, Matt. Thank you for making me feel like I'm insane for a second. Where I'm like, did we do an entire... Is there really a Simpsons episode we've done that is a poker episode? And I mean, they played poker. I know that, but it's not... There's not been like a Texas, which is, there is, it is a crazy thing to me that Texas Hold'em like went insane supernova popular for a short amount of time. Like World Series of Poker was super popular for a few years. And The Simpsons just like, basically, like they mention it. I think they have like oblique references to it, but they never did like an actual episode. I don't know. That's it for... Constant News Group, thank you all for watching the episode, leaving reviews. We appreciate you. Move on to our next segment. It's time for Listener Question of the Week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite movie with a baby? We didn't get a lot of answers. We are recording relatively early this week, Matt, so it might be part of it. Or maybe I'm just bad at making up questions.
I think people just don't like movies with babies in them, honestly.
It's possible. I mean, I'm not a hugest fan of them, but sometimes it makes sense. You know, if the baby makes sense in the movie, I'm not upset about it. All right. We only have a handful of answers, but Matt, take it away.
All right. First up from Dara. I feel like we did something similar to this before, and I said, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? So let's change it up and go with Ghostbusters 2. Might explain my aversion to ever wanting children due to fear of a 16th century tyrant wanting to possess them. Or at least that's what I tell my mother. You and me both, Dara. You and me both.
I just tell the barest truth, and I'm a heartless monster.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually,
what I say is I already have kids. I release two new ones a year.
That's good. Next up from Andy, Muppet Babies is one of the best cartoons for the mid-80s. You are not wrong there, Andy. That is 100% correct. Because of some alleged copyright and trademark issues, this gem is not streaming anywhere.
You know, Andy, sometimes you might want to, you know, think about the ocean, the seas. You know, you could maybe, if you go sailing, you could maybe find the Muppet
on certain seas, perhaps.
Certain seas, you could perhaps find the Muppet Babies. Not saying
perhaps that's if someone had a copy of them and managed to digitize them in a
perhaps
acceptable quality.
Matt. You know, what's quiet? You know, no, we don't need anyone coming after us. Just saying that, Andy.
Next up from Mr. Vladis, Home Alone still gives me warm holiday vibes. Is there a baby in Home Alone?
I don't remember. There's definitely a baby in... I feel like there is a baby in one of those. Either one or two. Isn't there a baby?
I don't think so. I think Kevin's the youngest one in both of them.
Does Kevin Callister count as a baby?
I mean, he's like 9 or 10, so maybe?
We'll allow it, Matt.
We'll allow it. That's true. And next up from Real Insanity, it's not a movie, but I really enjoyed the Malcolm in the Middle episode where Hal it takes a baby and me class and bets on baby games with other fathers in the class. Checks out. And finally, from Terry from Australia, hi, Matt and Robbie. My answer may only have a baby in it for a short time. However, it is very important to set up the history of the main character of the movie. The baby was Kal-El. He was the lone survivor from his homeworld of Krypton. Maybe Kal-El's presence at the start of Superman the movie is crucial as it sets the foundation for the entire storyline. His journey from Krypton to Earth not only establishes his origins as a powerful being, but also highlights the themes of hope, destiny, and the internal struggle between good and evil. Baby Kal-El's arrival on Earth ultimately shapes his identity as Superman and his mission to protect humanity, making him a symbol of hope and inspiration for all. Thank you for all the work you guys do. I mean, the man's not wrong, Robbie.
It's 100% correct. I can't tell you how hard I laughed when I read the words, "The baby was Kal-El."
I know, right?
It made me laugh really hard. And to be fair, Kal-El, the baby, is like a different character from Clark. Because as he grows, he's not Kal-El anymore. You know, he's Clark. He's Clark Kent. He's a boy from Kansas. You know, raised to be a good...
That's where most of his personality comes from.
Yeah, exactly. So he's only Kal-El as a baby. So the baby is like a basically separate character. So it only helps. It only adds to the answer.
So, Robbie, what is your answer?
I think we have done something like this before. I don't think it was this exact question, but it was very similar. And it's probably my fault for not remembering. Because I think I answered this before. I said Eraserhead. Because it does have a weird, weird baby in it. If that is allowed, you know, I would say Eraserhead. If we're thinking, like, strictly talking about real babies, like human babies... Like, you know, normal, either it'd probably be.
I mean,
either...
if we're bringing animal babies into this, I got a whole different set of movies.
It's not an animal baby, Matt. Eraserhead is.
Monster baby?
The monster baby. It's a different thing altogether. I think you can count monster babies. Don't count animal babies. But.
Oh, okay.
I would say if we're speaking normal human, just normal human babies, I'm going to go Raising Arizona. I think
I've never seen it. Is there a baby in that?
Yes, Matt, there's a baby in Raising Arizona. Okay. Yeah, there's a normal, I'm not sure. You might like Raising Arizona.
It's definitely possible.
It's possible. What's your answer?
I don't really like movies with babies in them. I like them about as much as I like babies in real life. But I had forgotten about Ghostbusters 2, so I'm going to go with Ghostbusters 2.
Next week's question, who is your favorite Disney princess? I'm almost positive I've never asked this before, Matt.
Right?
Who's your favorite Disney princess, okay? And you can, hey, you want to try, you can try and answer with one of those smart aleck answers, okay? One of them like, oh, I pick Wolverine now because Disney owns the X-Men, owns the rights to the X-Men. I'm like, you can try and answer that. Maybe I'll include it if you're funny.
If you're funny, got to be funny.
Storm is the actual, if you're going to pick an X-Men, come on. Storm is the obvious answer. If you're going to pick, oh, you want an X-Men to be a Disney princess? It's Storm. She's literally royalty.
She's been a princess and a queen.
Exactly. Like, or you pick, the Queen of the Shi'ar, if you want to, you know, a deep cut.
I mean, Lalandra, or the they now have Lalandra's daughter, Charles Xavier's daughter. That's a princess.
I don't see, Matt, now you're losing me again. Like, with daughters, what are we doing? Keep things the way I like them forever. No changes. I am a hypocrite. It's fine. We can move on to our next segment. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge, where Matt and I each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions, one easy, one medium, and one hard, and try and stump the other. We are tied after, 3 episodes, Matt? 3-3. We're at a stalemate. I think we're both trying. We're like, we don't want to give up a big lead early on. Be careful. Or, you know, actually, it's just random luck. It's pretty chaotic. I don't think either of us are too strict about what we do. You ready for an easy question, Matt?
I'm ready.
In Whacking Day, who serves as Bart's new teacher?
I believe that is Marge.
That is correct.
All right.
Should have called him Johnny Deformed.
In Raging Abe Simpson and His Grumbling Grandson and The Curse of the Flying Hellfish, who are the last two remaining living hellfish?
Grandpa and Burns.
You are correct, sir.
Can you go 5 seconds without embarrassing yourself?
How long was that?
All right. Your medium question, Matt. What year was the first Whacking Day?
Oh, it was... I want to say 1872.
You are not close.
Oh, dang. Okay.
1775.
Oh, that's close.
It's over 100 years. It's almost 100 years away, Matt. I don't think you're close.
All right. Your medium question. In this episode, we see a flashback to a battle where Abe introduces all of the other hellfish. Where did this battle take place?
I want to say, I mean, it's on the Western Front, right?
I mean, there weren't a lot of Americans on the Eastern Front, so yeah, yes.
It's not in the Pacific, is what I'm saying, Matt.
Yes.
So I'm like trying to, it's not in the Pacific. It's in Europe somewhere. France.
I mean, depending on the episode, usually Grandpa is in Europe for World War II.
That's true.
Unless he's mad at Santa Claus.
I was going to say, there was an episode where he was flying in the Pacific, so... in France, presumably, and is it a real place? I'm presuming it's a real place.
It is a real place.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. Waterloo.
I am sorry. It is the Ardennes.
Okay. That was not my top 5 of potential French places that I would pick.
In the Bulge, obviously. The Bulge.
Battle of the Bulge. Your hard question, Matt. What song does Abe sing as a German cabaret singer?
Oh, God. I can hear the song in my head. I don't know if there's a name for it. That is not eine Bubi. Oh, I'm going to say one of the few German songs I know. It's Edelweiss.
It is not Edelweiss.
Okay.
It's actually a... I would agree that this song... This is an unfair question, except for the fact that he literally sings. The only things he sings... is the name of the song.
Oh, Won't You Come Home, Franz Brauder?
Won't You Come Home is the name of the song.
Oh, I just sang the song.
It's Won't You Come Home.
I know the 2 lines.
Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey is the actual song. Sometimes just called Bill Bailey. But it has been extended now to Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey, as the name of the song. He sings a different version. The German, obviously, now it is Won't You Come Home, Franz Brauder. Like, you know, to give it a German name in the typical. But that's the Won't You Come Home, Franz Brauder, theoretically, is the the name of the song.
All right, Robbie, your hard question.
Mm-hmm.
What are the names slash nicknames of the flying hellfish that aren't related to any current Springfield residents as far as we know?
Oh,
there are four of them.
Yes.
You must get all four to get any points.
Oh, I got to get all four?
All four.
I'm not doing that. I'm not going to get all four. I know that. I can maybe name one or two of the four. Again, Matt.
I mean, two of them are like characters in the episode.
I know. I want to say L. What's like? There's Moose, I think. I want to say Moose. I know there's a big dumb guy who is apparently really smart about tontines. Say Moose. Oh, I'm desperately trying to. What I need to do is just rewatch all the Golden Year episodes all over again. I just need to watch them all again. So I haven't done it in a while. What's the name? There's another one right on the tip. I want to get at least two, and there's another one that's right on the tip of my tongue. It's like an old timey name. I think they're all like a couple of them are like nicknames, like Mooses, but one of them is like a real name, but it's like an old timey male name. It sounds almost feminine. But I keep wanting to say Elsa. It's not Elsa, but it is something like that. It sounds that same kind of rhythm. And he says them real fast right at the end as he's going through the list.
Yeah.
Or is it Ox instead of Moose? Maybe it's Ox. See, now I'm doubting myself even about these basic things. It's a big animal name, Matt. Big livestock name. Like, it's Ox or Moose? Maybe it's Ox. I think it's Ox. I'm changing my answer to that. Okay, so Ox, not Moose. Ox.
All right, you got on for like 4 minutes for one name, so I don't think I'm going to be able to sit here for this entire
Okay, go ahead.
You are correct with Ox.
Thank God, I got
the
one.
The episode actually begins with the death of one of the other ones, Asa. Asa Phelps
Asa!
Has died. Seventh Hellfish is
not
dead.
Not Elsa, Asa.
Yeah. And the other two are ones that aren't mentioned at any other time in the episode, Griff and Etch.
Etch is the other one I was thinking, like, I was trying to think of, like, because I knew, like, Griff is the hard one, because Etch is, like, he's, like, the record keeper, like, he writes everything down, scout, whatever, mm-hmm. You know, he keeps the logbook, and he has glasses, right? Does Etch have glasses? I feel like he does.
I think so, yeah, I think he's, yeah, he's got glasses and draws. The radio man is Sheldon Skinner, who also has glasses.
Okay. Asa is what I want. Like, I knew a girl in school, in I think middle school, that was named Asa. And I was like, when I heard Asa, I think I knew her. I think I heard the Simpsons. I think I saw the Simpsons episode was it that old? I met her after I saw the Simpsons episode. I'm like, Asa. I'm like, Asa, is that a girl's name? And Asa is just whatever. Doesn't matter, Matt. I didn't get it right. I got Ox right. I'm happy I managed to change my answer to one of the four correct. My lord. We both are still just tied. 4-4. Matt and I are fighting out, battling down here in the trenches. That'll do it for trivia. We can move on to our final segment. The segment we end every single episode with. It's time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically, watch them chronologically, eventually compile a list of every episode ever, and how good they are. I don't know what to do with this one, Matt.
I have no clue. It's so inane. It's also been a while since we actually talked about it. We kind of got distracted with all of our other stuff.
I mean, talking about Ghostbusters is more entertaining than talking about adventures in... Okay, is it better than Adventures in Baby Getting? Is it better than last week? I think yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's better than Adventures in Baby Getting. It's not. That's a very low bar to clear. let's look. Let me look. How about Funeral for a Fiend, 389. Bob Fakes His Death.
I don't know. Honestly, that's a really bad Sideshow Bob episode, but it's still a Sideshow Bob episode.
Yeah, it still has Bob in it. It's still more interesting.
Yeah, I would rather watch that again for sure.
Yeah, I think so. This is just, again, there's just nothing to grab onto with this. Boy Meets Curl.
396. Oh. That's a tough one. If this episode had anything worthwhile to just grasp onto, I'd be like, oh, yeah, definitely this episode. But, God,
I think they're very close together, Matt, where, like, it's kind of like just it's boring and but like offensive in how absurd it is. And you're like,
mm-hmm.
Your gut reaction, which would you rather watch?
Oh, gosh. This one, I guess?
Okay. I think that's fine. Real Housewives of Fat Tony is right above it.
I also don't like that, but...
I don't either. I don't like any of these episodes, man. I would never watch any of these episodes again ever in my life. Real Housewives of Fat Tony, I think, is slightly better than this. Just a hair.
Yeah, I agree. I would much rather watch that than this, and that's really saying something.
It's not... The episode's also bad, but, like, that's where we're at. This is what we're doing. It's like... So it goes right in there, right in between. Between Real Housewives of Fat Tony and right above a Boy Meets Curl, it is gone. I really wish they would stop using these stupid references. Like, they've already done Gone Maggie Gone. Are we going to get a Gone Lisa Gone? Are we going to get a Gone Homer Gone? A Gone Homie Gone?
Of course.
Like, it's absurd. Like, be more creative. Is it that much to ask?
Apparently, yeah. Yes.
That's when you say yes. Yes, it is too much to ask. So, number 396 on our list. Homer's Enemy is still first place. Last place at number 484 is Codependence Day. Long May It Rain. May I never have to watch an episode worse than that.
Yeah.
We're not done them yet, Matt. We have one more thing to do. One more question to answer. And the question is, do we shoot this episode out of the cannon?
The cannon!
I mean, yes, please, God. Just...
You don't... Okay.
Can we set it on fire?
I think if it gets... I think the force of the cannon will at least ignite whatever.
I sure hope so.
Easily flammable materials that are a part of the episode. I agree. Yeah, of course it's not. No, we don't need to keep this. It's more about, do you think they ever reference Rita again? Ever? Even reference her? I know she doesn't appear
I'm
yet.
Sure. I'm sure somebody in a later season references her in some way and says, hey, look, I remember that this happened, even if no one else does.
I'm morbidly curious. It's like how I never thought any of those Bart's ex-girlfriends would ever get referenced again. And then they brought them all back for that bad episode. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is where we're at in the history of the show, where it's referencing things from other. It's been so long that they aren't referencing things in the golden years anymore. They're referencing things in the teen years, which no one remembers.
Right.
So maybe they will reference Rita again. Are they ever going to reference Grandpa's like songwriting career?
Oh, that definitely not. Definitely.
Are they okay? No, we don't need to keep this. The Gone and Be Gone is not. There's nothing important in this. You don't need to watch this episode. There's nothing like interesting. Like there's nothing intrinsic that makes it important or valuable or worthy of discussion. Fire the cannon. Goodbye. Goodbye, Gone, AB Gone. Nice to know you. It wasn't nice knowing you. We're going to answer the same question about every episode on this, working our way from the top to the bottom. We are at number 186. This is an interesting episode, Matt. She of Little Faith.
Oh, that is an interesting one. I think that's pretty critical to Lisa's character, so I definitely think that stays.
Yes. I wanted to, like, I was trying to think, like, could I do, like, try and argue and... Like, we don't need to keep it. What about this? No, it is pretty important. And honestly, to be fair, they've kind of made it the butt of bad jokes lately of like, at least I am a Buddhist, but this, and you're like, Lisa, come on, can we just stick with one thing? But yeah, it's actually, and it's also one of the standouts from the teen years. It's one of those episodes in the teen years. You're like, oh yeah, that's good. They actually went for something and did it and committed and stuck with it. Be cool if they did that all the time, but it stays. Definitely. She had Little Faith. Yes. 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 Our next episode, Matt. Pennywise Guys.
Oh, interesting.
Homer is shocked to discover that his neighbor and bowling teammate Dan Gillick is an accountant for Fat Tony. Steve Carell playing Dan Gillick.
Interesting.
And Fat Tony goes into jury duty, and Dan must become the boss while Fat Tony's in jury duty.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Lisa is diagnosed with iron deficiency and starts eating insects. What?
Okay. Not
what? What is going
on? Sure, Sure.
I don't like. There's a guy credited as the voice of an ant. Alex Trebek appears as himself. Rest in peace, Alex Trebek. That's next week. We don't have to think about it until next week. That's the beauty of this map. Watch along with us if you'd like. You can find everything on our website, thesimpsonsshow.com. Has links to all the stuff. You can find me online at Robbie Dorman. That's Robbie Dorman with 1-0. Dorman 1-0. Right, Matt?
1-0, indeed.
Thank you. Robbie Dorman, all social media, Instagram and TikTok are more most active. Well, TikTok is still a thing. We're at this point, they have to sell if they want. They have to divest if they like to remain in the U.S., which I assume will happen. I assume some U.S. tech company will spend the money to buy them. But I don't know. We'll see. You can also just go to my website. You want to buy my books? You should buy my books. There's 15 of them. You can buy them at my website. I'll ship them directly to you. I'll sign them. Sign signature of my books. Sounds pretty good. They're really good horror books. Of all kinds. All from low body count to high body count. Lots of blood and guts. Just psychological stuff. Depending on what you like. I have it. You should go buy a book. This book is Cursed. It's the newest. You can still buy it from me. Directly from me. Probably only directly from me at this point. We'll see. Matt does not participate in social media. You want to find him.
That is true. I spend all my time, literally all of my time, taking care of kittens. But luckily, they're incredibly adorable to make up for. If you would like to see these kittens and see what I deal with on a daily basis, you can check out Kitten Turns, KittenTurns, on Instagram or kittenturns.org. But be warned, you're going to want these kittens. And unless you live in Central Florida, you're going to have to do a lot of work to get them. But they could be yours. But, you know, if you're having a bad day, it's the perfect antidote to the terribleness of our world.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And you guys are...